Welcome to One More Chapter. I'm Brian Rex Davis, editor of Action Magazine, and I'll be your guide as together we rediscover ancient wisdom for today's challenges. Restoration is about second chances, about hope blooming from the ruins. It's a testament to resilience, a reminder that even broken things can be made whole again, often stronger and more beautiful than before. Author unknown. In a lot of our quotes on this particular podcast, I'll try to find a quote from a notable person in history, but this was such a beautiful sentiment that I decided to use it as the quote, even though it's an entity on social media. And as I tried to track down who said it, everyone said it's been around for several years on social media and nobody knows where it comes from. So if you know out there where that quote comes from, please send that in to us and we'll give credit to where credit is due. One more chapter, and I am joined by Jeff Hussey, our producer, who has been on the other side of the equipment for some time now. Jeff, thank you for joining us for the podcast.
Good to be here.
Jeff is an extraordinary individual. He has a lot of technical talent. He knows his business with the production, and he's really been the one that's been putting it together for us, and we appreciate that so very much. But separate and apart from your technical skills, which I think you've had a technical job career, haven't you?
I have. Started with a degree from A&M, mechanical engineering.
Mm-hmm.
Did that for about 6 years. Then I got into computers and worked for Apple for about 15 years.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's been always been technical of some type.
Yeah. But apart from that, Jeff actually attends worship where I attend worship as well. I'm an elder where we attend worship at the Westside Church of Christ in Round Rock, Texas. And Jeff serves as a deacon. And so we end up working a lot together in spiritual matters. And recently, Jeff has come to work for us at World Bible School.
Right.
And World Bible School, of course, sponsors this particular podcast. And we always talk about the tools they offer and the Action Magazine that actually is our flagship communication magazine. And so Jeff works with all of that now and brings all of that skill set, all of that love for sharing the Word of God and Jesus. And so we want to take one more step in our one more chapter together. And I've asked Jeff to come back from behind the equipment and join me here on the set as we talk about chapter one, wisdom and restoration. Our last three episodes have been looking at the definitions of three significant words in the New Testament that are translated, often translated, restoration or restore. And each of those words had a different context to it, one being that of health, the restoration of health, one being the restoration of a building, as if a building had fallen down and it was being rebuilt, or a tent, David's tent specifically in the passage we looked at, and then a very unique look at restoration that talked about the future and how Jesus would ultimately completely perfect us, which is a level of restoration that really we want to talk about today, but it's also in this quote that I quoted and why I found that so beautiful. The second chances, the blooming from the ruins, the reminder that even broken things can be made whole again, often stronger and more beautiful than ever.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a broken world, as you well, no, we often talk about that. Jeff works quite often in our adult education program at the local congregation, so he loves sharing and teaching. He's always got his finger on the pulse of the teaching needs within a congregation of people. And many people think Christian churches and congregations are sort of country clubs for perfect people. That's a real mistake, isn't it?
It is.
Not to criticize anyone at the local congregation here in Austin, but that is a complete misunderstanding of what church is. It's much more a hospital for those who are healing.
Correct.
And we're all in the same boat of looking for that second chance, mm-hmm. of looking for that opportunity to be made whole again. And the concept of restoration for me says that no matter how many mistakes I make in the past, no matter how much brokenness I bring upon myself or find myself in, Jesus has that ability. And if Jesus is God, which he claims to be, mm-hmm. which the Bible affirms him as,
correct.
Gives powerful, convincing proofs of, he has the power to actually remake me, renew me. I'll tell you a story, and then we want to get into our passage, our ancient text for pursuing wisdom for today's challenges. But I'll tell you a story. It had to do with my foster son. When I was earlier in ministry, even before I was married, I worked in an inner city ministry where some young men who had been a part of gangs in large cities in the Southeast had studied. They had come to study the Bible in a program called Inner City Ministry,
okay.
at the time. And many of them had obeyed the gospel, and they wanted to get off the street, and they asked if they could come live with me and go to school. I'm thinking, that's a big request. But my brother worked in Christian childcare, and so through volunteer placement, that was a possibility, and that worked out. My oldest foster son, his name is Michael. He'd had a rough growing up experience, as many of these young people did. That's really why they formed into street gangs. Mm. It became their second family, so to speak. And they took care of one another.
In fact, to survive.
Yeah, and the gang leader, you know, you see the Hollywood gangs and the movies, mm-hmm. but the gang leader was a very an obvious leader of the gang. His talent was that he could get everybody a bologna sandwich by the end of the day. And so he was literally the one nurturing and giving food and life to the rest of the gang, who are all struggling, like you say, to survive. But within that environment, and many of these guys, they lived rough. And most of them I met in the midnight hours, in the night ministry. Mm-hmm. They would come out. Really struggled with going to school because they couldn't keep the clothes in order that they'd want to go to school. And so their education suffered. And then street gangs, without any adult guidance, without any Christian guidance, obviously got into bad activities, made bad choices, made even illegal choices, mm-hmm. made bad mistakes. And within that, there comes a callousness of the soul. And that callousness comes from when we just break our conscience over and over. And young people who don't have guidance and parents teaching them the will of God, they don't know that making repeated bad decisions actually sears your spirit conscience and leaves you jaded, leaves you callous. And I remember Michael as he came to stay with me, and he started going to school, and he was growing as a Christian young man. He was truly pursuing very proactively the wisdom of the Bible and the God of the Bible and Jesus for his challenges, of which he had many. But by trusting in doing that, one thing that always bothered him is that he read in the Bible that Jesus wept, that he had the ability to weep.
Mm-hmm.
And in Michael's callousness from life on the street and life in the gang, he no longer had that ability. And that always bothered him because he thought it was permanently broken. And whatever that was that Jesus could do, whatever that release emotionally that is available to so many, he would never have that again. And it bothered him.
Mm-hmm.
But as he kept growing and he kept maturing in Christ, I'll never forget one Sunday morning, he rushed into my room and he woke me up and he said there was a song on the radio, and it was a Sunday morning, so it was some sort of a praise song. He said, there's a song on the radio. And I just started crying. It was great, man. Oh, great. Thanks for waking me up with this. But the power of it was, Jesus did recreate what was broken inside of him.
Mm.
And what many miss is that we do have a physical body, But part of the wisdom we've been studying in this podcast is that we are created with a spirit body as well. And restoration gives us that hope that things broken in our spirit can actually be remade. Mm-hmm. And just like this quote that's so beautiful, building from the ruins, broken things made whole again, often stronger and more beautiful than before. Certainly for those of us who have experienced that recreation, what for people becoming a Christian is called rebirth, really.
Right.
That experience is precious to us. It gives us hope. It empowers us in our life. And our ancient text today is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 31. Now, this text would have been written in the first century. The Apostle Paul would have been writing this as a correspondence to a young church in the metropolis of Corinth. Now, you're a great Bible teacher, and I know you study the history and context. Tell us a little bit about what Corinth was like as a city and as a culture.
It was a Mecca. It was one of the central cities of that time period.
Mm-hmm.
Port city. It had a lot of stuff going on. There was a lot of, you had a very, I would say, mixed culture, mm-hmm, in terms of all sorts of different nationalities in there.
It was a trade route, crossroads,
trade route,
wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes. Yeah. And as a result, you had a convergence, if you will, of a lot of different ideas, a lot, mm-hmm, of different religions of the time,
yeah,
and all that. So it was a bit of a melting pot,
mm-hmm,
of all sorts of different things going on there.
And as a port city, I would just imagine it was a bit of a rough streets kind of city.
You have that vision. Yeah, there is, you get that impression.
Yeah. So Michael might have been very comfortable there in his gang days.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of explanation we see in the book of Acts. In fact, I think there is some indication that when the Apostle Paul was on the outskirts of the city, he may have been quaking in his boots, wondering, is this really where I want to go? And Lord, why me? And
you sure I need to go here?
Exactly. So, but this is a communication from this environment. And this is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 31. And I think it's going to show us how wisdom and restoration are important partners in the hope of meeting today's challenges. And if we're brave enough to use Jesus's wisdom, then that restoration is very much possible.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to read through here. We'll stop from time to time and have observations, but especially from your background, your personal history, why you chose to follow Jesus, interested in your experience. I assume you weren't a gang member growing up, and so it will be a different experience. But we all have different experiences,
right,
and that's all welcome in the church of Christ.
Amen.
All right. So verse 18, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Now that's a prophecy from Isaiah, which is a much, much more ancient text, maybe written 700 years before Christ came to this earth, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah 29, verse 14, this is the quote. Now, why would God be destroying wisdom in this case? He says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Why is this being brought up in the context of Corinth?
What he's talking about there is the wisdom of man. It's the wisdom of the wise. Man consistently, persistently thinks he is top dog. Mm. He is the top of the food chain. And while he is, there is something above him.
Right.
But man a lot of times has difficulty grasping that and accepting that.
Sure. I would say the majority of our Western societies
definitely
somewhat sees ourselves in the role of God.
Absolutely.
We're the penultimate of creation, and we're the smartest, we're the most capable. We've built different cultures, different societies. And the great seduction of the study of science, and I know you teach a lot of this when you teach the book of Genesis.
Right.
The great seduction of science is we seek to measure the world empirically. We seek to use scientific method to observe and quantify the world around us, which is not bad. That's not a bad thing.
No, not at all. And science, science originated with God.
Well, there's the missing element, isn't it?
And that's the problem is that man can't get out of his own way when he's looking at something. And I've said for a long time that a lot of the theories, and a lot of them, I don't even think they reach the theory stage. A lot of them are hypotenuses at best, if you look at the scientific formula.
Hypotheses.
Yes. But they can't get out of their own way because I'm convinced that they want to remove God as an element.
Yeah.
And therefore, that's the whole thing about the chaotic origin of the universe, that they want to persist in saying it happened, evolution and everything happened over millions and billions of years, because if you admit that God created everything, then you're admitting there's somebody above you.
Yeah.
And I think that fundamentally, a lot of people don't understand that, don't realize that's what's going on, but I think fundamentally that's this wisdom that is being referenced here in this passage, is it's man's wisdom, and it is devoid of God. It is not God's wisdom, so therefore God is saying, I will destroy that wisdom of the wise.
And we've seen this right from the book of Genesis.
Mm-hmm. We looked all the way.
We looked right at Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, where Adam and Eve made that first mistake. They're going to do it their own way, disobey God, and then terrible consequences, terrible challenges to survival itself. And that's why we have explored whether this wisdom in Scripture is something that actually helps us with our challenges. My position in this podcast has been, check it out.
Right.
Put it to the test.
Correct.
If the creator of the universe has given this wisdom, then it should work. And we can actually put it to the test. And I don't think God has any qualms whatsoever about us putting it to the test.
No.
Well, let's go further in the reading. Verse 20. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Now, a scribe would have been a civil servant, somebody who was more like a lawyer.
Right.
Where is the debater of this age? Corinth was a part of Greece, and the Grecians were very proud of their intellectual knowledge, their academic knowledge, and they loved to debate.
Mm-hmm.
They loved to see who could win the argument. Very logical, and a lot of our education is based on Greek thought.
Correct.
Even today. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Verse 21, for since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. So they did not have the wisdom to know God. That's remarkable to me, to be so smart, but to reject the opportunity to know, if knowing is possible, the one who created me. It seems to me like when I was hearing that story of Michael, Michael did not know his dad, ultimately met him one time in his life. And there is something about not knowing your origin, not knowing who brought life you into life, that is very crippling.
Mm-hmm.
I know Michael struggled with that mightily. Now, it did end up having a great relationship with his mother, and that has been a huge blessing to the latter part of his current stage in his adulthood. But not knowing your heritage, not knowing your origin, it's just crippling for those of us who are trying to make it through the challenges of life. And so for those who have actually given up on origin, given up on creative, the creator, given up on intelligent design is often a phrase used in many circles. What's at stake there? It seems to me, especially if you're testing hypotheses, if you're testing theories, you would at least want to check that out. That seems a very compelling, legitimate exploration.
But this is the foolishness that's referenced here, the foolishness that anything to do with God, anything to do with intelligent design, any of that is completely discredited in man's wisdom.
Yeah.
And therefore, it's not even given a fair shake.
And it's a bit of a circular thought, isn't it?
Totally.
My academic, empirical, scientific, physical scientific experiments are going to tell me there is no spiritual creator.
Hmm.
How do you even do an experiment like that?
You're starting off on the wrong foot. You're starting off with you're not giving the test of the experiment, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's being set up to fail.
Yeah. And that's really the purpose of this podcast. Will you try out the wisdom of these ancient texts? We talked about how the context of ancient just makes sense in that we can empirically see. If we're looking for advice, we don't usually go to our baby brother or our baby sister. We usually go to our parents or to our grandparents because we're looking for that age and experience that has experienced what I'm going through and then can speak something into my life. Usually we refer to that as wisdom.
Right.
Well, if the Bible comes from the very creator of life, it's worth checking out.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Verse 22, for indeed Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom. Verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block, and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And this is what we've been searching for this whole podcast. This passage tells us that Jesus embodies the wisdom of God. And so in our next episode, we're going to explore that a little bit further because in our podcast, we've been looking at all sorts of characters in the Bible record, in the ancient texts, from Adam and Eve and Noah and Abraham to Moses, King David, Jesus and the apostles, Peter, Paul, Timothy, young evangelists. But here, the crux does not point to Jesus just as a great teacher, just as a great historical figure. It says, God, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. You know, when I'm facing challenges, I'm not really looking for those weaker than me to help me out. I'm looking for someone with a whole lot more on the ball than me or a whole lot more wisdom or a whole lot more power to make a difference. I have perceived in our particular United States culture in our younger generations, and this is a concern I have, not to be disrespectful or dismissive of our younger generation. My children are still in that younger generation, so I love them very dearly, and I want good things for them. But I have noticed that in some circles, there's almost a glorification of weakness.
Yes.
As if it creates a comfort zone for me. I find that really hard to relate to because that is not my growing up experience. Of course, I'm as old as dirt, so that that experience was not mine. But if our younger generation, and one of the arenas in which I noticed this was at my youngest son's graduation. They had, as is our tradition in the West, at high school graduations, you'll have your best students get up and give a speech. And both of the smartest students in the school got up and gave a speech about it's time for us now to get out there and make our own mistakes, and that's okay. And I'm thinking, that sounds like a recipe for disaster.
No.
Another, and this was an intern that I had when I was actually living in Central Africa. I would have university interns come, and they were sent to study with me. And so of the morning, and it was in cross-cultural communication, I was living in a fairly remote tribal area of Zambia, and they were wanting to come learn how to communicate cross-culturally for Christian purposes, for Christian ministry. And so we would study of the morning, and then they would put it into practice during the afternoon. And I would cover certain points of wisdom from Scripture, from these ancient texts in the Bible. And quite often, there came a year where almost uniformly, the students would tell me, you know, I've read that verse, and I have no idea what it's talking about. And I'm okay with that. And I'm thinking, okay, you've just said you're just awash in ignorance, and
you're okay with that.
You're going to be okay with that. I would like to challenge, especially those of our younger listeners, don't be okay with sitting in ignorance. Don't be okay with the idea that making your own mistakes is wise. Avoiding making mistakes is certainly the tenor of Scripture.
Right.
The pointing to those who can help us not make mistakes, empower us to surmount challenges rather than just succumb to misery, and then perhaps misery loving company and saying, hey, we're all miserable together, so that's the best we can do.
It occurs to me that I think they're saying that because it's just not important to them.
Yeah.
You know, the like, I just, it doesn't matter. I'm going to make mistakes. It's something that I think you could point to certain things in culture that's kind of indoctrinated them, ingrained them with over the years. And it's just something that by saying I'm okay with that, you're saying it's not important to me.
I can see that, but I also am concerned that perhaps a reverse value is actually being taught. And the reason I bring that up is actually a different passage from 1 Timothy, the young evangelist Timothy, Paul, the apostle. And again, this would have been from the first century. He wrote this letter to this young evangelist, and he was warning him in 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2, chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, that we are fighting against the seducing doctrines of demons.
Right.
In other words, there are real, intelligent, evil beings in the spirit realm who are trying to convince us to believe wrong things. And if Satan and demons are real and they're working to get us to believe the opposite of truth, then here's my concern, that in this world, certain truths become fads, and then they are often perceived as truth. But the Bible often refers to the fact that people will make the truth a lie and turn the lie into a truth. In fact, I think there was some prophecy. We'll have to look that ancient text up at some time. I'm not one of these Bible students that has a memory of every single verse all the time. I have to look it up. But that's okay. But I am concerned that our next generation has actually bought into this idea that not knowing and making mistakes is actually the good thing to do. If that's true, now I may be an old jaded man, and so I hope not, but it's a concern based on my love for young people, concern based on my love for my own two sons. I want for them a love based for my foster sons. I want for them better. I want them to be able to avoid those mistakes. I want to share wisdom with them, to share power, to the power I have to offer. You know, if my foster son is having a current day struggle, call me. I will do everything I can to help you with that. If my own blood and flesh son calls me, I will do the same. Here, Jesus is being referred to as the power of God and the wisdom of God. And if we make use of that power and wisdom, then is it possible for us to experience that restoration where no matter how broken I am, hope can bloom in the ruins, and brokenness can give way to being made whole, even stronger and more beautiful than before. I believe that's the case with Scripture. Let's look at this last paragraph, and I'll value any reflections you have on this. Verse 26, still 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh. In other words, in the church here in Corinth, it wasn't made up of the most elite academics of the city, of which there were some.
Right.
But it's more your common day, everyday man who is looking for hope for today's challenges that responded to the gospel in Corinth. So not many were wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many nobles. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. But by his doing you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, so that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Wow, that sort of turns the whole world order on its head, doesn't it?
It does. And I'm thinking, you know, when you were talking earlier about, I think my thought along them being okay with not knowing and all that is more of this culture of mediocrity that we seem to have around us, where, you know, thinking about going back to what you said earlier about, you know, I'm okay with this. I'm okay with ignorance and all that. Thinking about the heroes that I grew up with on TV and, you know, John Wayne and Captain Kirk and all those guys, which were very strong, very courageous, very, you know, they saw a problem and they tackled it head on.
Yeah.
And you don't see that as much today. You see.
Yeah. My wife was, we were watching the Lord of the Rings movies.
Yes.
Yeah. And her comment afterwards was, wow, you don't see heroes and noble self-sacrifice depicted in modern media as much anymore.
No, you don't. And I think that's, it's systemic. It's part of what's going on in this culture that you talk about. And God doesn't want us to be have a mediocrity life.
Right.
He wants us to have a thriving. He wants us to be blessed and to grow and to thrive. But the only way you're going to do that is to be connected to God. Anything else is not going to give you that kind of thriving.
And you don't have to be the elite. You don't have to be from nobility to be included in God's use of you and in the beauty he can bring to your life.
Right.
Now, you can be, can't you?
Absolutely.
You can be elite. You can be academically superior. You can be from a noble family. You can be royalty,
correct,
for that matter. But everyone is welcome in Christ. And Christ can bring that power and wisdom to the most broken life possible. Now, at some point, you decided to become a Christian.
I was blessed to be raised in the church. My parents were faithful members of the church when I came into the world. And so I was raised in the church. Remember still to this day, the day I became baptized. It was at a gospel meeting. I want to say I was 12. I think that's right. I've slept since then. and then I've spent all my life in the kingdom, in the church. Sure. So it's
and in the New Testament, we've studied this before. The kingdom and the church are synonyms in the Christian age.
It's the same thing. So I've always lived. There's been some spots. I know when I went to I ran into one situation in my life right in college, right after college, where I got very disgruntled with man and how he was approaching. I had some unfortunate encounters at the congregation we were attending at the time, And I got very frustrated and gave up on what I called organized religion, because I said, if this is the way man is going to approach it, if this is the way man's going to do it, I don't want any part of it. My relationship with God was never in question. I was never angry at God. I was never, I never wanted to walk away from God. That wasn't there. Thankfully, that's been there all my life.
Yeah.
But I got frustrated with man and went through a period of time where I was not attending church services.
And then that put you at risk of the very wisdom that Jesus teaches, and that is, even though you can still have a strong belief and desire to follow Jesus, Jesus actually forms us in community.
Right.
Certainly, you could not have accused the church at Corinth of being a fantastic congregational experience.
They were, we would use the term today, dumpster fire. You know, there was a lot of things going on. But what I find encouraging is the way Paul still referenced them throughout the letter.
Yes.
He referred to them as the church of God. He referred to them as saints,
right,
as saved.
Yes.
And that gives me hope, because in going with our what we talked about at the beginning about being broken and made whole, here's a congregation that was doing a lot of things wrong.
Right.
A lot of, they were partaking of the Lord's Supper incorrectly. There was just all sorts of things they were doing wrong. But Paul's approaching them from the standpoint of not saying that's okay.
Right.
You got to get that right.
Yeah.
But still referring to them as being saved. And that makes me think of 1 John chapter 1.
Right.
If you're walking in the light, and their hearts were in the right place, their hearts were pursuing that, but they were getting distracted. And again, they were making mistakes.
Yeah.
They couldn't get out of their own way. That's what happens when we make mistakes, is we get in our own way.
Yeah.
But Paul's there saying, here's what you need to do to get back to it.
Right. He wasn't saying, and that's okay.
Right.
Just wallow in your mistakes and your ignorance.
It's okay to be ignorant.
Yeah. Now, he was calling them to the knowledge that the Spirit of God revealed. He was calling them to the one who could give them the wisdom. He was calling them to Jesus as the power of God and the wisdom of God. Well, this is a fascinating passage, an ancient text that I find extremely hopeful, and I hope those who are listening on our podcast, of whatever age, you will check out the wisdom of these ancient texts, and more specifically from today, that you will check out Jesus as the power and wisdom of God.
Amen.
Now, our sponsors in our chapter 2 are always World Bible School and Action Magazine. World Bible School has been providing study opportunities free of charge for 50 years now, and we have various resources that are available to you. You can go to worldbibleschool.net and find most of them. If you want to study, you can go to worldbibleschool.org, where the study site is, and ask to have a spiritual mentor walk through a study with you. You can do that digitally. You can do it through paper. And here's examples of those paper booklets that can be sent out, and that can be a great encouragement to you. This particular course, God Has Spoken, that's one that really helps you find that foundation. Is it worth checking out these ancient texts? Because the proposition is, if it is from your Creator, then it will be worth your time. So I really encourage you to check that particular course out, that booklet. The other one that I would mention at this time is that restoration not only happens individually, but restoration can also happen with whole congregations of churches. It can happen with people groups. I was just in the country of South Sudan, and they had been somewhat oppressed before they became their own nation, and now there is a restoration of people groups re-engaging with the Bible to consider the Bible as the Word of God. Mm. It's just a remarkable experience. Yeah. And perhaps on our sister podcast, Together in Mission, we'll have some interviews on there and more discussion of Definitely. That experience. But this particular course, it's actually our longest course that's in booklet form. It's called The History of God's People, and it helps you see where people get off the path. They start trusting man's wisdom, mm-hmm. as we saw today, or they start experimenting with culturally popular activities, and you can easily lose your path. You can easily lose your way and start pursuing man's wisdom rather than the wisdom of God in Jesus Christ. And so this particular booklet actually shows how that happens in history, both in the Bible. The first half is Bible history. But then the second half is history of churches since the first century. And that can be really helpful because mm-hmm. it's very confusing for those who come to the Bible for the first time. Yes. You look at the world around you and see so many different churches, so many different teachings. It can't all be true at the same time. Well, there is actual understanding of how of what's going on mm-hmm. and how we can be restored to the ideal in the mind of God as revealed right. in the Bible. So another wonderful course. I believe you have a copy of our latest Action magazine. You actually produce these magazines now in your role and doing a fantastic job. This particular one, this entire year, the theme of Action magazine has been mentoring. And this particular one is Mentoring in Teaching, a beautiful picture from the nation of Thailand. In fact, on another one of our Together in Mission podcasts, and we might want to list where those podcasts can be found in the comments below. That would be helpful.
They will be.
Yeah. And this particular picture is from Thailand, and we've recently had some friends from Thailand who teach the Bible in the nation of Thailand. Even though the majority of the culture practices Buddhism, they have a very vibrant ministry, and they came into the studio and shared some of their experiences with us. Very exciting interview, and so I'd encourage you to check that out. If you want to read Action Magazine, you can do that digitally. Mm-hmm. Just go to worldbibleschool.net, sign up for a digital copy, or you can actually sign up for a paper copy, and we'd be happy to get that to you. You'll find many articles that are encouraging, Bible-based. They will also provide tools that will help you pursue ancient wisdom for today's challenges. In recap, we've been looking today at wisdom and restoration. We value your questions and comments, and you can certainly send those to us, and we will try to do our best to respond and help you in any way that we can. We are going to look next time in our next episode at how Jesus is that wisdom of God. Look more specifically at the person of Jesus, and I think that's going to be a wonderful episode. Thank you for being with us in this episode of One More Chapter. I'm Brian Rex Davis with Jeff Hussey, and we have been exploring ancient wisdom for today's challenges.